John Blair was in a previous life a man who collected football kits. Now he's turned it into a publishing empire. Everybody should own a copy of his previous book, A Culture of Kits, The Definitive Guide to Classic Shirt Collecting. I know I do. And now he's turned his attention to a particular group of shirts. His new book is called Football Kit Italia, Greatest Kits and Characters of the Golazzo Era. And I'm delighted to join us now. Hello, John.
Hey, Danny.
Listen, John, thank you. You've had to be a bit patient there because Tim Vickery went on and on and on about football. We know that you'd be a person who started out, you've got a big collection, 500 plus shirts. You did a general book about it, which was shortlisted for the William Hill Sports Book of the Year. Congratulations on that. Why have you turned your attention particularly to Italian football between 1992 and 2002? And let me just say that the pictures of the kits on the cover, I'm literally, you can hear it, salivating. Why did you decide to do Italy next?
Yeah, thanks, Danny. I mean, Serie A in the 1990s, it was just such a culturally important period in football, but also in UK British television broadcasting. Gazzetta launches on 1992 on Channel 4. And for my generation, even 30 years later, there's just such love and nostalgia for that period, the players, the kits, and the TV show. And so, as I was kind of thinking about a follow-up to A Culture of Kits, the goal was just really to write a book that celebrated that era, its impact on football, culture, TV. But I think to do it in a way that almost echoed that original show, very colorful, very visual, and what better way to tell it than through the kit journey?
John, since I moved to the UK almost 15 years ago, I realized how important has been Italian football, which I've lived in the first place when I lived in Italy, how important it has been for people of my age living in the UK. But according to you, was the most, I know there's been many, but was the most iconic kit through the 90s, through the golden era of Italian football? Or what is the one that people should really look forward to in your book?
Yeah, I mean, the one that gets a lot of attention is the Inter Milan third shirt, 97-98, the UEFA Cup
Yes.
winning shirt with R9, hugely iconic. It's a third shirt. It wasn't produced in huge quantities or numbers, and so there's a real demand for that kit if I had to pick one from the era.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That is a gem. I think also a kit that Inter brought back later on in some other shapes
Yes.
or form. But I think, yeah, with Ronaldo number 10, which again was a unicum because then he switched to number 9 the following season, because in 97, 98, it was Ivan Zamorano at the number 10. I think he's really, really iconic. But for me, when I think about the kits of Italian clubs, it's interesting because they were made by brands that are no longer.
Oh,
Yeah,
yeah.
if you think about Umbro, ASICS, Rob Di Cappa, Fila, Lotto, and there are other that are more niche, but those are really special, John.
Yeah, and that was actually my favorite part of writing this book because, as you kind of rightly point out, I think in manufacturing back in the 90s, there's a real domestic bias in every league. And certainly in Italy, that came through with Lotto, Diadora, Kappa, even smaller family businesses like ABM and Fila. And so it's not monopolized in the way it is now with the big players. And so it was really nice to go through that journey of the early 90s. And then you kind of get to the end of the 90s, early 2000s, and seeing the evolution of the designs as well as just the kind of aesthetic feel of them.
John, and also, I mean, and I'm sure your book reflects this. It was a learning, it was an education for us all. That Palmer's beautiful kit with Parmalat on the front of it, which I remember, it forced me, and this is before the internet, to go and try and find out what Parmalat was, because as far as I knew, it could be an insurance company or a company that made tractor tires, and it turned out to be a dairy foodstuff corporation. It really was extraordinary how important the kits were because they were little gateways into a world. I mean, I know it sounds nuts now to kids, where you can just look these things up. You don't even have to press a button on your phone. Your voice can say, "Tell me about Parmalat." It's so different. Do you have a kit that you think was the worst kit that came up in your book?
Yeah, and maybe just to cover the first part. I think
Yeah.
that's where the TV show was so enlightening because in 1992, you've got to remember the context. I think the only foreign sport that was shown in Britain on television was the Olympics and the World Cup. And so suddenly you've now got this weekly gateway into ordinary life in Italy, the comings and goings, the style. And it was a real, just almost a hybrid viewing experience
It was
between match of the day and
amazing.
wish you were here. it was incredible. And so that really kind of opened, I think, a lot of people's imagination to the different cultures out there, players, league, et cetera. Worst kit, I don't know. I mean, I don't really kind of go in for that type of thing. I think all kits have their own story and their own beauty. I think there's definitely nostalgia attached to all shirts. If you pushed me, I'm not a huge fan of the lace collars. I think the Palmer kit from 93, 94 with a Freya and Zola, I'd probably pick to that one, but they're all great in their own way.
I think, do you think, John, in 20 years' time, 25 years' time, the people will look back at the kits that are produced now by the big manufacturers and think the same about what we think about the 90s? Or perhaps right now, all the kits look pretty much the same. They do have the same pattern. They tend to have foreign sponsors that perhaps we don't quite relate. I mean, in other words, do you think that era has already gone, or they're going to be another golden era?
Yeah, I do. I'm a believer in the kind of cyclical nature of football. And you mentioned it earlier, Danny, when you're chatting to Jonathan about people really being enlightened about football around their 14th birthday. I think shirts have a similar appeal. And so you've got to think people that are 14 now, they're loving the kits that are coming out. I think Macron are doing some great stuff with Sampdoria and Bologna, Capo with Genoa. The new Napoli shirt looks incredible. And so I'm sure there'll be the same nostalgia for those shirts and those moments. And again, it's interesting how things go in cycles. But the McTominay impact in Napoli is kind of bringing Italian football to a second generation of fans in the UK again.
You'll be surprised to hear this, John. But when I've spoken to James Richardson about the effect that Football Italia has had, not just on me, but on the way we perceive overseas football, he still pretends that he doesn't understand how important it was. When I said it to his face, I felt like giving him a very light tap around the back of the head, say, come on, guy, catch up with what's happening here. Maybe he's just too modest, something that nobody could ever accuse me of. Listen, John, it's been great talking to you. Let me just remind people what the book is called again. It's called Football Kit Italia, The Greatest Kits and Characters of the Galazzo Era. It looks gorgeous. I think that's part of it. Once you see the cover, you'll just say, I need that. And if you may have to, forego one fish and chip meal to buy it, but I absolutely recommend it to you because it's a feast for the eyes and the football fan. And thank you to John Blair for joining us here on Trans Europe Express, where next Daniele Fisichella will be joining, guiding us through some of the more treacherous rapids approaching teams in the qualifiers for the Champions League.